song is called Cantaloupe Violet. It's pretty cool.
Some good jazz sounds there.
If you're standing at our kitchen sink right now, on the sill, you would see cardboard egg cartons full of soil and all the little sprouts. And our project this weekend is then to take that out to our raised bed garden and put it in and start. And we've got cantaloupe, watermelon, and we've even got a few pumpkin. It's a little early, but thought, what the heck, get them started.
Get them started. And that's how you start. You know, over the years, Mark and I have talked a lot about our local markets and how important they are and the growth of the local movement in general. Well, because of COVID-19 and what's been going on and some of the markets that have been shut down, some of our farmers that exclusively maybe serve chefs or exclusively serve a specific farmer's market, all of a sudden that revenue stream has dried up. So one of the things the governor's office early last week called Arizona Farm Bureau and asked, what do we need to do? And we huddled together and said, you know, there's a variety of things that can be done in agriculture. And I'm confident that the governor's office didn't just query us. But one of the things, when it was my turn to speak, I said, we need to take care of our direct market retail farmers. And so there's a variety of things that we've been trying to really support them with. And one of the things they've done is for the food banks, and that's why I mentioned that website earlier, azfoodbanks.org, where farmers can go. If a revenue stream is dried up for them, they can go to that website and contact their key people and try to move some of their product through the food banks. Because the other thing that's happening during this pandemic is that some of the food banks are having a struggle keeping their supplies in check. So we're hoping that with some of our retail direct market farmers, we can do that. And I know, Mark, in your role on the city council and vice mayor, especially for your local food banks, you guys have talked over often and strategize on ways to make this work, not just during COVID-19, but there's always people in need, regardless of the day or the situation.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because our County Farm Bureau has been working closely with Executive Director Dave Richens at the United Food Bank, and how farmers can bring their produce that cannot be used otherwise because it's time sensitive and get it out to the market or to the consumer and those that need their food bank. In fact, in Mesa for the past 2 weeks, we have had, the United Food Bank has had a food program where people have showed up, and it is overwhelmed our United Food Bank in Mesa. The cars, I drove by there yesterday and the week before, phenomenal. You wouldn't believe the amount of people wanting food. And so the producers that have food available, even the small producers like myself, I've delivered many times fresh vegetables to a food bank here in Mesa because they're close. And again, it was going to perish. So what we're saying is, even our dairy farmers, ironically, their price that they get for their milk production correlates with the stock market. So I was talking to one of our dairy farmers, and I go, my gosh, that means you're not even making ends meet on your milk. And he says, yeah, this is the flush time for dairies. In other words, this is when your alfalfa has the highest protein, it produces, the cows eat it, it produces the most milk, and the United Dairymen of Arizona has so much milk products to produce and get out that the dairymen are going to have a hard time not dumping milk out or not bringing it to the plant. So this is just a real fragile time that we're trying to look at ways we can navigate and get fresh produce out to our respective people in our community. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, and United Food Bank, just like so many of the other food banks here in the Valley, do such a tremendous job, and they so want to provide a good, you know, cornucopia, literally, of healthy food. And when our direct market retail farmers can provide for them too, that's a huge thing. And again, it's not just during this pandemic, but we've had families that have, let's say you work in the restaurant business and you no longer can work the restaurant business. So there's some tough times going down, and we know that our farmers can supply. It also causes me to bring up the point that our food supply is healthy. There's been some logistics or distribution disruptions, but we actually are well supplied. So for Arizona families listening in today, if you see empty shelves and there's a little bit of panic that kind of goes through your mind, just know that the food is there. What is happening is we, Arizona families, we're buying in bulk, and we're also shifting some of our typical buying patterns. So that's one of the things that's making it a little bit harder for the grocery stores to stay stocked. So one of my farmers, in fact, it was John Bolts from Yuma, he has encouraged us to just remember, if you're talking to Arizona families, Julie, remind them, start moving back into your normal buying patterns, even in our fresh produce, because we've been stocking up on a lot of staples that can last a long time.
That's one thing I've noticed in shopping is that mm-hmm. the produce section is full. It's the stuff right. that has to be processed and manufactured and shipped.
That's been cleared out.
That resupply, it takes time to right. manufacture that. Some of the unique things about that is it forces you to, if you're still looking for something, I'll use salsa, for example. Have you ever had Calitos? And it's out of Texas.
Mm.
And it was one of those things, we shop online. We always have. Just, it's so convenient from where we live to our closest supermarket. It's about a half hour. So you can order it online, and then they tell you, okay, come pick it up at this time. So then you drive around to the side, and you call the number and say, okay, this is the Romero's, and we're in parking lot 4. And they bring your order out of this refrigerated side of the supermarket, and they load it in your truck, and you go. So we don't have to waste any time. Well, sometimes when they're out of something, you say it can be substituted. And one time our regular salsa brand was done, and so we tried Calito. And so they put Calitos in there. We haven't had
anything
but Calitos since then. And now Calitos is sold out, and so we tried another brand, and we've got this new favorite brand. So it's forced us to try new things we otherwise wouldn't have, just because your habits are so used to buying right. what you like.
You're not going
to
admit that you bought all the Calitos in town.
No, didn't have. I wish I could say that.
Yeah, but we're trying to tell our Arizona families, now that you've stocked up on the toilet paper and the staple goods like soup, go back to some of your regular buying power patterns, because we do want to make sure that our dairy products are moving. You know, the fluid milk at the start of this pandemic, and when people were realizing, this is pretty serious, fluid milk, which is like your gallon of milk or your quart of milk, was just flying off the shelves. And I do think there's a fairly, you know, it's ebbs and flows, but a lot of the other dairy products weren't moving as quickly. So UDA, their warehouse is overloaded. So that's what I'm meaning by, let's go back to some of our normal buying patterns so we can help our farmers and ranchers move the variety, whether it's your eggs or your dairy, our fresh produce. John Bolts grows fresh produce in Yuma. And he was one of the farmers that told me, you know, we need to get back to some of our normal buying patterns because the food is there. It's available. And we can have access to it. But there's been some outlier buying patterns, you and I, because we felt like we needed to stock up. So, and that's, you know, in a crisis, there's all sorts of funny things we do, like overbuying on toilet paper. So, Mark, do you have any add to that?
Well, I do. In talking to one of our dairy producers here in Southeast Mesa, he said one of our local cheesemakers is reducing making cheese by 60% because not a lot of people are buying cheese. And so consequently, they're filling up their warehouse with and cheese is time sensitive as well. I mean, you just can't keep it on the shelf forever. So anyway, it's has a ripple effect within the industry of our agriculture. That's why part of this $2 trillion program that the president signed, there's some of it's going to be direct payments to our dairy farmers, to our livestock producers, to specialty crop producers, and also cotton. This will compensate the farmer for a fair commodity price, but then allow these commodities fresh and to get right out to the consumer so that they can eat it or drink it. And that's very important for the health of America, the health of Arizona, and especially of those in our Phoenix metropolitan area.
Another program, too, that a lot of organizations in ag have been working with Congress and the administration is to try to move some of those, to keep your employees employed. There's a paycheck protection plan through the SBA, and it's actually available to all small businesses, but they are now including ag. Ag hasn't always been included. There's another loan program that they're trying to solicit the Small Business Administration to shift some of those dollars to ag because we need to keep growing. And we've had this campaign, the social media campaign called Still Farming, and also what it looks like to stay at home on the farm. And we're trying to really tell American consumers that we are farming. The ranchers are still ranching, the farmers are still farming, but there's some pain in the market right now just because of some of the things that happened. And the biggest, one of the most important things for small business, because it employs so many people, is to try to set up situations within the SBA where the small business owner can still pay his employees. So it's actually a pretty good program. There's a little hiccups going on it, but they're trying to get that pushed.
Julie, can I add this, please?
Yes, absolutely.
We in Arizona are fortunate to have a year-round growing season. I want people in Arizona to know, especially in the Phoenix metropolitan area, wherever KTR is, that Arizona has the safest food supply in the world, and so does America. And as a producer and seeing food come from other parts of the country, which is necessary to supplement our food at different times and seasons, but Arizonans have to realize that we take particular care of what we produce, how we get it to market, so it's safe and consumable. And if there's questions about cleaning it or washing it, there's guidelines for that. If someone feels like, hey, I just want to take that extra step of protection, hey, I understand that. But at the end of the day, the producers give a top quality product that's nutritious. And in no time and season, we're just rolling out of our citrus season. Those of you had citrus, you've been harvesting it since late October, November. And if you have Valencias and grapefruits, you're harvesting them still now until June. And we have abundance of fresh produce in Arizona. And we have a year-long growing season where if you live in Idaho, Utah, East Coast, you have a single growing season. It'll last 3.5 to 4 months, and you're done.
Yeah. I even like to highlight, tell often to our listeners that we grow the Mediterranean diet in the desert, the Med diet in the desert. And we even raise fish. So every one of the food categories we raise here in Arizona.